Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual bearing that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed deviancy and called it an alternative lifestyle. We've exploited the poor and bless all the speakers today to educate, inspire, and encourage us. In the Savior's name, amen. Please be seated. Most of you ever watched the Twilight Zones on the scene from outer space, not from Kenya. You get my drift?
Okay.
So he comes to Earth and he tells us he's going to bring peace, prosperity, and end of famine and so forth. And he has a book that says to serve man. And the protagonist of the movie takes the book, gives it to his secretary, says, I want you to translate and decipher this book. Then it fast forwards to an airport behind police lines, excitedly desiring to visit his planet. Then you see other aliens from outer space, not from Kenya, loading the protagonist and others onto the spacecraft, and they're very excited. But as the protagonist is about to get onto the spacecraft, his secretary runs up and says, it's a cookbook. Okay. Too late, he gets loaded on, then they show him inside the spacecraft, and the alien gives him a plate of food, says, eat the food, I want you nice and fat, and so forth. My sister has been telling her son, who's in his 20s, the Obama agenda is a cookbook, okay? It's a trick, and so forth. And in the movie, the aliens were here to eat human beings. Obama's here to eat the Constitution, okay? Yeah. He is the most evil and the most dangerous president ever in our lifetime, and that's a fact. I studied him before he became president. I knew he was anti-gun. I also knew he was anti-Christian. He appointed the infamous Judge David Hamilton to the appeals court. This person here, he decreed that you cannot mention the name of Christ at a college prayer and so forth. So I saw the direction he was going in. But my friends, I'm encouraged because I see a few signs that we're going to win. There's a lot of demoralized people out there like my sister who needs to be encouraged. No, get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. Don't worry. And so forth. Don't be affected by the Orwellian media that's trying to rig the polls and so forth. Get out there and vote. Remember the 2010 elections. That was a conservative landslide. We had the book, The Amateur, by Edward Klein. Excellent book. Widely read. We see the Chick-fil-A movement. Well supported. The 2016 movie was good. And recently, a black pastor by the name of Bishop Jackson from North Carolina, he said that he's imploring people to leave the Democrat Party, people of faith, whether Jewish or Christian, to leave the Democrat Party because of what they did at the DNC when they tried to take God out of the platform, and then they made it very clear they wanted same-sex marriage in there. So there's a lot of groups that are angry at him. They're not going to vote for Obama. And I believe that that's a good sign for us. Let's not get weak-kneed. Let's make sure that we encourage each other because there's a lot of demoralized people out there. But I see signs we're going to win. We have to win. We're going to win. God bless you and God bless America.
I just wanted to take a moment and to bring up three things. In this past June, we lost Dr. Vito Genco, who was the president of the World Forum on Shooting Sports. He had been active for many, many years, and while we do not know him here in the United States, he was an integral and at the United Nations. On a more personal note, this past September, the Second Amendment Foundation's office manager who had been with us for 10 years passed away. So if we could just bow our heads for just a moment, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, then, it's a cheery morning. Otis McDonald took a fall a couple of days ago, and he ended up in the intensive care unit. Fortunately, he's on the mend, so while he cannot be here this year, he's getting better, and there is a book that has been written that will be for sale later at a table. The book was written by two of his family members. And then on an extremely happy note, I would like to tell everyone that Alan Gura and his wife Amy had a little baby boy, Max, last Saturday. He's not with us here. He's with us in spirit, and his speech is with us. So with that, I would like to turn this over to Joe Tartaro.
Thank you, Julie, and thanks all of you for getting up early and joining us this weekend. We have a very busy schedule, and we have many sponsors who have helped and contributors who have helped make the Gun Rights Policy Conference program now in its 27th year such a success and such a force within the gun movement. You'll find them all listed on the program. My job, after working with Alan on the agenda, and we have a very packed agenda this year. I think we have more speakers packed into the available time than we've ever had. But in addition to doing that, I get to lead off and sort of review the road we've been on in the past year, and Alan will join you in just a moment to talk about where we're going. But the road we've been traveling in the past few months is now history, and history should inform us of the directions we take going forward. History doesn't really repeat itself exactly, but history and its themes keep repeating, as anyone who has been active in the gun rights movement for many years realizes. The enemies of the right of the means to self-defense are relentless in their attack and always inventive and very repetitive. They have always played the victim card, and they have always exploited news events to sell their message. They have been determined to roll back many of the successes the pro-gun movement has gained in recent years, and they are seeking relevance at a time when no one is really paying much attention except in the media and a few politicians. They've exploited every event that has happened in the past, and in this past year, they've picked up on all of the key big events that have made the news. The Columbine follow-up in Aurora, the Sikh temple shooting, and every other event that takes place. Their effort is relentless in trying to get back, and they will exploit every event they get a hold of. The Trayvon Martin case, which will be discussed in various ways during the program, is being used as an excuse to roll back shall issue laws. Florida was a leader in that area, but now half of the country states have individual right to carry and stand your ground type laws, so that the anti-gunners see this as a point of attack which they will keep pursuing. Of course, the case is ongoing. One of the other things that they've recently been trying to roll back is the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. In fact, There is a suit pending in the New York State Appellate Division in which they are trying to attack the whole law in an effort to regain the opportunity to sue the firearms industry out of existence and to sue individuals who use the right to keep and bear arms. All of these issues are under attack, and they keep finding ways to fight back at a time when even the political pundits of the right and the left tell them that the gun issue is a non-starter in Congress right now. Immediately after the Aurora shooting, the media all tried to get ginned up on the idea that there would be new gun control laws. But if you were watching any of the talking heads, and some of them are old hands in both parties who said, it ain't going to happen. One of the reasons it's not going to happen is the recent polling has shown that support for the right to keep and bear arms is at the highest level now than it has ever been in the last 30 years. So their next point of attack is to approach the whole concept of the ability to defend yourself, the self-defense concept. They poo-poo the idea that there is any significant use of firearms for self-defense. And they keep promoting the idea that there is fewer people in the gun movement today, in the pro-gun side, fewer gun owners, which apparently they are ignoring statistics that even the federal government comes up with. A recent report from the Congressional Research Service came up with a number that we are now at over 8 million people who have the right to carry concealed in this country, and the number is actually much higher because several states didn't report. And including, I'm ashamed to say, my home state of New York, where we have some 300,000 to 500,000 active licensees, but the state doesn't keep very good records, and they don't share them. The point, I guess, to make is that our numbers are growing. We have a lot of young people coming into the movement. They are not the old hands, the old culture of the gun movement. The gray-haireds like me remember, but they're young people, vital, and their primary interest isn't sport, it is the self-defense issue. So I think from that we can take heart that our movement is perhaps healthier than it has been in years, and the numbers are growing. So thank you. We'll be following this, and Alan will come up and perhaps discuss some of the areas where we will be going in the next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. Before I pursue the road ahead, I just have two quick things I'd like to say. I'd like to offer an apology for Governor Rick Scott, who was planning on being here last night at our reception, but some official business came up and he couldn't make it. I have a letter to read from you from somebody who really wanted to be in attendance, but due to scheduling problems was not able to be here with us today. So if you'd bear with me for one moment. Dear friends, I'm honored to have been invited to speak to you today at the Gun Rights Policy Conference in Orlando. I am moved by the overwhelming pride and appreciation that Americans show toward our country and our freedoms. The Second Amendment to the United States Constitution clearly states the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Like the rest of the Constitution, I believe the Second Amendment is one of the cornerstones of our democracy, and the right to bear arms is a constitutionally protected right. I appreciate you gathering today to reaffirm the importance of the Second Amendment. Please know that I share your enthusiasm for the fundamental right guaranteed by the Constitution. Although I'm unable to attend this event in person, please convey my best wishes to all in attendance, May God bless you, and may God continue to bless the United States of America. United States Senator Marco Rubio. Well, the road ahead starts right now, and your roadmap is the conference agenda. And believe me, between now and the November election, 38 days, there are no rest stops along the way. So with that in mind, answer these questions for me. If President Obama gets a second term, will your gun rights be more secure? No. Will Obama appoint federal judges that uphold the Second Amendment? No. Will Attorney General Eric Holder defend your right to keep and bear arms? No. Will Secretary of State Hillary Clinton stop the United Nations assault on our Second Amendment? No. Will the Department of Homeland Security stop considering gun owners a threat? No. Will Obama stop appointing gun grabbers to key federal agencies? No. Will the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives stop fast and furiously attacking your rights? No. Will the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, stop pushing for firearms bans in every place of employment? No. Will the State Department stop funding the world disarmament efforts to ban firearms? No. Will the U.S. Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management be more user-friendly to hunters and shooters? No. Will the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service drop attempting to ban lead bullets for hunting as well as .22 caliber rimfire ammunition? No. Will the Environmental Protection Agency stop trying to close down shooting ranges? No. I could go on, but I don't want to take time away from the more than 60 speakers you're going to hear over the next 2 days. And even before Election Day, the battle over the human right of self-defense goes on. Just because we stopped the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty this past summer does not mean that the international assault on our rights is over. In fact, there will be battles that could affect our gun rights next month at both the United Nations in New York and in Vienna, Austria. Julianne will be representing us at the UN in both New York and Vienna, and I'll be in Vienna as well. It is expected that this international attack on our sovereign rights will continue into next year. That is why you will find this on our agenda. And after the election is over, will anti-gun rights politicians in Congress, state houses, and local cities suddenly halt their attacks on our Second Amendment rights? No. Will the dominant media recognize that the Second Amendment is just as important as the First Amendment? No. You can see that we deal with the elections, the consequences they have on our gun owners' civil rights on the agenda. And we deal with federal, state, and legislative battles on the agenda as well. And in the courts. If we don't file the lawsuits to protect our right to keep and bear arms, who will? It won't be the United States Department of Justice. That is why you'll see so much time devoted not only on our agenda, but all through next year, protecting our right to keep and bear arms in our courts. It's imperative that we get another Second Amendment case to the United States Supreme Court that protects the right to carry. Looking ahead, the biggest organized threat to our Second Amendment rights that I see in the coming year comes from billionaire New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and his anti-freedom coalition, Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Of course, we all know that Bloomberg and his group would like to make all guns illegal. But we have put a few roadblocks in their way of Bloomberg and his more than 700 mayors in his coalition. 45 of the 50 states have preemption laws that do not allow cities' mayors to enact new laws that are stricter than state law. That forces them to fight on the state and federal level where we are stronger. They have another problem. Despite the millions of dollars Bloomberg and his group of gun grabbers have spent attacking our rights, and then using tragedies like the horrific shootings in Tucson, Arizona, and Aurora, Colorado, they have not moved public opinion 1% in their direction. In fact, their hysterics have backfired. While gun sales have been at a record high for levels over the last 3 years or so, new calls for gun control have seen those record levels reach a new spike. The American people know that when it comes to self-defense, a gun beats a cell phone every day. And in 2013, we at the Second Amendment Foundation have a new roadblock for Mayor Bloomberg and his anti-gun rights coalition. It's called our Preemptive Legal Project to roll back over 600 local anti-gun rights laws. Laws that are illegally on the books thanks to local politicians, many of which are members of Bloomberg's coalition, that thumb their nose at state law that prohibit their enactment. This month, our test of this new preemptive legal project has resulted in the removal of over a dozen laws in Virginia and Washington State alone. We call this Citizens Against Illegal Laws. It's also my hope that with your help at this conference, we will have many more new ideas to protect and expand our firearms freedom over the next 12 months. Over the past 26 years, the Gun Rights Policy Conference has helped to keep the gun rights movement a step ahead of our opponents. This year's conference will be no different. Just because your name may not be on the agenda as a speaker does not mean that your participation is not vital to our success. Our gun rights movement is a grassroots one that is dependent on networking. And quite frankly, some of the best ideas come from you. So together, let's take the road ahead and expand our right to keep and bear arms. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Joe. It is my pleasure.